You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
David, we'll start there. Timmy Trumpet in a sport that doesn't really go viral all that often. Yeah. You need something. You need to kill a pigeon with a fastball in order to go viral in that sport. Is that an old reference?
I think so.
You don't remember this? You guys?
Of course I do. It's
Randy Johnson
scarred me as a child.
He murdered a pigeon.
It was on the best damn show, sports show period, clip show, like a thousand times.
Let's talk about the best damn rain delays, because the best damn rain delays were, they had five shows in the can, the best damn sports show period did, and if you were lucky enough, especially down here in South Florida, you'd watch all five in
at least 60
succession.
Times.
Yeah, oh my God. David, what is your fondest rain delay memory? And why was it opening day? Why was it when you had the roof?
That. No, the worst rain delay I ever had was during the World Series, by far. People may not remember that. We had a World Series, the first game we ever hosted in 03. Not the first World Series game in Florida, obviously, because we had it in 97. But in 03, there was a quick rain delay. And everyone was so angry. They were just angry the Marlins were in the World Series. That was the year that the Cubs should have been in the World Series. And everyone hated the Marlins in baseball because small market, didn't care about Miami. And there was no one to promote but Pudge. And Fox was miserable about the series as well. And then we go into a rain delay, and the TV networks hate rain delays because they have to figure out how to program, and the majority of people leave during rain delays, therefore ratings are down. So it's just a nightmare. And Bud Selig was just angry, and Jeffrey was angry, and it's as though we control it. It's so ridiculous. But the best memory is a guy, and I'm going to shout out to him. Hello, Alan Sigwart. You must know that name, Mike, right? Do you remember that guy?
Alan Sigwart? Can't say that I do.
That should be the title of this this episode. Hello, Alan Sigwart.
Sigwart. He was a guy who was a steroid guy doesn't matter, he wasn't playing, just this huge guy in charge of the grounds crew at Dolphin Stadium. And he answered to Huizenga and Ross, not to us. And so he would basically tell us what we were going to do, and I'd have to meet with him before every single game at Pro Player. And we had an entire weather service station at the stadium, and we would go look at radar, and he'd talk to us about whether we could have BP, whether we couldn't have BP. And all of our managers were miserable because baseball is such a game of routine, and our routine was dictated by Alan Sigwart.
In retrospect, mighty presumptuous of you for me to know the groundskeeper name from the early 2000s. I apologize for not getting that right away.
He's a pretty famous guy, though. So I would assume that as a sports fan, he was one of the most well-known people in the Marlins organization.
That's not saying much.
Let me get back to my original question, which was about last night, playoff atmosphere. City Field, between the Dodgers and Mets, and there was a lot of scheduling around the Timmy Trumpet appearance because Edwin Diaz has this amazing, amazing entrance as a closer. Closer entrance is one of the best things that sport has going, and they book him for this Dodger series, and you know, it's not easy to beat the Dodgers, let alone find yourself in a safe situation, but Timmy Trumpet comes out, and Edwin Diaz trots out. Very cool of Edwin Diaz to stay stoic, because like there's a lot of pressure there. It's kind of, I'm sure he would say it was weird. And Timmy Trumpet plays along the entrance, and it was a great viral moment for a sport that doesn't really have much. I'm sure you were dying to have not only a successful closer because you signed Heath Bell, but to have something like that, especially that connects with the Latin American market, David.
Well, our viral moments always would come from negative things, right? We'd have memes of...
You do this often.
Jesus. David,
go with memes.
Memes.
Memes. Whatever it is. Remember, there's that sort Memes. Of big guy who's making that thumbs down, and then you had a little kid that was in a Marlins game as well. Did you see the people having sex at the Blue Jays game yesterday?
Why are you so excited? Yesterday?
We really are excited about that.
People having sex at the Oakland A's game. And
was that sex? We don't need to get into details.
It's sex.
It certainly looked like sex.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no proof. It was the HBO at night like sex.
So this has actually happened
they don't do that anymore. It's HBO at night. You're making a reference from the 80s, HBO.
No, they do that. Is there no more soft porn on HBO at night, late night?
I mean,
does that not happen anymore?
You're the insomniac. You would probably
That was a thing, right?
It is
that
not a thing anymore.
It was more on Cinemax.
Cinemax, so I've been told. Showtime did it too. I wonder whatever happened to Emmanuel.
Yeah, there was Emmanuel in Space after that. Like, it became a whole franchise. Legendary franchise.
When we talk about most successful movie franchises, no one ever mentions Emmanuel. And why, I would say she's got to be the top.
Why? Wow, the kids have no idea about Emmanuel. Emmanuel was a softcore porn franchise. Like, the first movie wasn't exactly going for that, but each sequel thereafter just leaned more and more into it.
They found a lane.
To the point that we actually had Emmanuel fucking in space.
It was something that everybody looked forward to. Forget, like, Top Gun 2 or Mission Impossible 7 or Lord of the Rings 20. When there was a new Emmanuel movie coming out, it was appointment viewing.
This seems impossible to believe.
It's not true in any way.
What? It's, Dan, it may not have been true in your household, every other household, it was quite true.
So you guys had emotional connections to porn?
Emmanuel in Space is an American erotic science fiction television series produced for cable and syndication in 1994. It is loosely based on the character Emmanuel from the 1960s, featured in dozens of softcore porn films over the years.
I can't believe that was 1994. That's not that long ago.
Put it on the poll. Have you ever cared about your porn?
This harkens back to a time where you actually cared about storylines because you couldn't fast forward stuff. It wasn't on demand. You had to sit there.
You guys are so old.
You needed a plot to keep you engaged.
He's got us gathered around the release of porn. Hey, Emmanuel's coming out tonight on HBO.
We would talk about it in school, that right? That was just to give people a frame of reference to how good you all have it right now growing up. We had it. It was scrambled because most households, including mine, did not have these channels. And what scrambled used to be is not that it was a blank screen. You could hear the sound of the movie, but you couldn't exactly see it. Because they would scramble it in a way that would make it hard to see exactly what you're watching. Every once in a while, you'd say, oh my God, it's a nipple. And then you'd like see it again and it would be an elbow. But whatever, it did the job.
Job.
Okay, Timmy Trumpet. So viral is what you hope for. And picture all of these old white people trying to figure out what's going to be viral and what can we do to be viral, because it gets you a lot of attention, which no one's been able to monetize in baseball. The concept of viral, right? It doesn't, it's very hard to predict when you're going to get it, obviously. And when you go for it, you're not going to have it. And so closers are something that we can program, because it's very hard to get your manager to agree where certain pitchers are going to pitch, and you have to work with your GM. And when you try to give attention to one player over another, the manager doesn't like it, the general manager doesn't like it. And I would always want that because I thought that's good theater and good entertainment. But with closers, you're at least able to get some traction with your baseball people. But then you need performance, because can you imagine, and you know, Sandman, Mariano Rivera, if he stunk, it would not have been the thing that it was. And Edwin Diaz is having an absolute lockdown year for the Mets, and the Mets are good. All of this is good for baseball. And a New York LA League Championship Series is what baseball is going for. It's what they want. They are hopeful they are going to get it, though the Braves may have something to say about that. But taking advantage of it, that's what the marketing department in your baseball organization does. They look for these things, and then they have to go to the baseball people and say, do you mind if we do this? We're going to bring Timmy Trumpet in. We're going to make it a thing. And then the manager has to talk to the marketing department about whether or not there's some clubhouse issues by showing one player or giving one player that amount of attention. So all of these things, it's like a high school sewing circle. But the Mets got it right, and they're going to keep doing it as long as Diaz keeps performing the way he does. And I promise you, wait to see. Timmy Trumpet will make an appearance in October at Citi Field.
Do you ever have input on what some of the players come out to? Do you ever try to nudge them in a direction, or do you save good songs for good players? Like if Braden Looper wants to come out to Firestarter by Prodigy, do you say, no, we'll reserve that for someone that's good?
I definitely wouldn't say that because I wouldn't know what that is. But the answer is yes. We talk to players. We get a list during spring training. The game day operations department, the people who are running the scoreboard and playing the music, they actually meet with the players to talk about their walk-up songs. We had a fight. Do you remember the year where they changed the rule in baseball this is the brilliant move that we had to make the game shorter, is that we were going to cut the time of the walk-up songs. And I actually, in a league meeting, said that there should not be any walk-up songs because players were waiting for the full bar, the full chorus of their walk-up
for
songs.
The beat to drop.
They were walking up slowly, and it was driving me crazy.
Oh, wait, was this the Archie Eversole, We Ready?
Whenever Juan time Juan Pierre had a whole process. He like would do his practice swings at the same exact part in the song. I loved that song, though.
So that's what players did, right? And they do because they think it's good for it psychs them up.
We ready for y'all.
It was the only thing that he did slow, his walk to the plate.
He was obsessive compulsive, right? Showing up at 1 p.m. for or 10 a.m. for a 7 p.m. game seems a bit much, too.
Why is that obsessive compulsive? That just means he doesn't want to be home.
Well, because he was on the field physically measuring the size, the length of the grass near the third baseline.
I'm trying to remember as many 2003 walk-up songs as possible. Juan Pierre is the most recognizable one. I think Mike Lowell had DMX. Yeah, Party Up in Here.
Samson, you've never heard of Firestarter by Prodigy?
I've never heard of Firestarter nor Prodigy.
It was up in here.
I'm a white
Party
guy, folks.
That, no, it was me.
You're misplaying that.
He wasn't playing it at you. He was playing it on himself.
David, if I had to play that for you every time you open your mouth, we'd get so sick of that sounder.
It was, I thought, the coolest moment of the baseball season. What's happening around him, and I'm not sure where it is that's landing, but the ethnicity of it, the New York, the Mets are fun, David. They're good, and they're fun. And then Timmy Trumpet comes on, and Edwin Diaz is so badass, and he comes in real slow. He milks it, and it's extra cool in a way that baseball usually isn't.
We try so hard to be cool, and it's hard to be cool when you're just not, right? It's like the Philip Seymour Hoffman line in Almost Famous, like you have to embrace the fact that you're not cool. Like that's the cool part, and baseball has a hard time doing that. So everybody does, I guess, when you're not cool. You just, why would you want to embrace that when that you don't want that to be your baseline? But the Mets, I don't know that they're as good as you think. Certainly Jacob DeGrom, if you watched that game last night, is the best pitcher in baseball. But the Mets offense is quite anemic. They don't hit well with runners in scoring position. And come playoff time, they're going to have to get some clutch hits from someone. And they're going to have someone other than Scherzer and DeGrom do something because of the way the playoffs are this year, where there's no off days, very, very few off days. So it's going to be tough for him.
Last night it was Marte. He still looks great in a uniform. Like that guy fills out a uniform in a way that other people do not fill out a uniform. And in that game, David, I think it is the only thing that rivals the game-winning walk-off home run. Stealing a home run on defense when you time it perfectly. It's not just stealing a home run where you get to the wall and you jump a little bit and you make the catch. But when you're in full sprint and you make the catch that prevents a home run, which is where the Mets won that game last night, it's got to be, if not the coolest feeling in that sport, the second coolest.
We practice that during, not just during spring training, but pregame, where we'll have outfielders. It's why we lowered the walls at Marlins Park, because players wanted to make those catches because it's so good for your brand and so good for the game, and they love doing that. The best players in baseball love making good defensive plays. It's not sexy, and it doesn't happen often, but what Nemo did yesterday was spectacular to watch, and it does draw a lot of attention to the sport. And when you're looking at plays of the day, et cetera, but it takes practice, and they do practice it.
I was legendarily wrong the other day.
Because it was a day that ended with Y?
Roasted.
I mean, what happened that you were legendarily wrong? Like, what? I'd like to know your frame of reference of what to you is legendarily wrong.
You were there, and what happened was, I told you when the Brewers traded Hader that the Brewers would never again in their history get the kind of relief work that they had just traded away. Hader gets to San Diego in 4.2 innings. He's allowed 12 runs, 12 hits, 8 walks. The other day, now this is a guy who would go months without anyone hitting a ball hard off of him. And he gave up 6 earned runs in a third of an inning the other day. He's been an unmitigated disaster.
Has he been worse than Rodney? Like, are you past that now?
Yes. How could you be any worse than 4.2 innings and 12 runs, 12 hits, 8 walks?
He got the save last night while you were sleeping. An inning scoreless for Vile. Them to beat the Giants.
It was a great Does performance. That- Sandy. And you didn't see the love story coming with Bill Pullman. That's kind of the family dynamic there. Awkward Thanksgivings.
Is it his son in Top Gun?
Yes. Yeah, Bill Pullman's son.
I cannot believe it.
I like to think that there is a cinematic universe where he was the son of the president from Independence Day and just enrolled in the Navy.
I was looking at him and he looked like Bill Pullman. I just watched Top Gun Maverick and reviewed it on a recent Nothing Personal, and I loved it. And I went in not wanting to love it. And that's a whole different kind of movie when you go in thinking and ready to not like it. And then you're looking for confirmation bias and you're looking at the beach scene and you're just waiting. And then all of a sudden you can't help it, but you end up loving it.
David, I had this take a few years ago that I thought Mission Impossible Fallout should legitimately be nominated for Best Picture. And I'm going to do it again with Top Gun Maverick for a whole different set of circumstances, too. Not just because it is at least as good a movie, and it's one of the better movies of the year, but it brought big box office cinema back. It was so important to getting people back into the movie theaters, and it was such a great bet on yourself type moment for one of the great action stars of our time. And it is certainly one of the top 5 movies of the year so far. I know we're not in Oscar season, but
now they nominate up to 10, though.
They can nominate up to 10, but sometimes it's fewer than that, right? So do you think this is a ridiculous take? Presently, I think Top Gun Maverick should be nominated for Best Picture.
I don't think it will be, because the Academy has really tried hard, but this is going to be a different type of year for Oscar, not just because of what happened, what's going on in the country, but because of the whole Chris Rock thing there and Will Smith. They need to find a way. And there's two ways that they're going to build their audience this year. One is by having a movie like Top Gun nominated, but the other would be having Chris Rock come back. They tried to get Chris Rock to host the Oscars, and he said no, and then made the worst joke ever about Nicole Brown Simpson, and now the internet is all crazy about Chris Rock. Like, it was such a stupid joke. I still think Chris Rock will come back and be a presenter at the Oscars. My producer, Coco, wouldn't even let me talk about that on Nothing Personal. He said, Chris Rock said he's not coming back. You can't do a wait to see that he's going to come back.
How often does that happen, that your producer tells you you simply cannot talk about something?
Not enough.
That's not true. It happens just about, we prepare, we do a nighttime prep call and a morning prep call before we record. And I would say that he does it almost every day when I'll come up with a story, and then I'll have to pull the, no, I really want to talk about it. I did a segment yesterday about Yeshiva University and a Supreme Court case. And he said to me, who has an interest in that except you? And I said, well, it's a very important Supreme Court case. It's the separation of church and state. It's establishing an organization as a religious organization. It's LGBTQ. It's all of those things. And he just sort of rolls his eyes. And he does what I used to do with Jeffrey, is what he does with me, is every once in a while he gives in because he knows he can't say no all the time.
On the subject of court cases, I saw yesterday there was a legal filing in the case that Angel Hernandez is bringing against Major League Baseball because he is sued on the basis of discrimination that he has not worked a World Series since 2005. And Major League Baseball made a point to put a filing out there that he was on track to umpire the 2018 World Series before getting overturned three times at first base on video reviews during one game, game three of that year's ALDS between the Yankees and the Red Sox. What can you tell us about that development?
Well, I could tell you to listen to today's episode of Nothing Personal, but let me sum up what I did. I did a full segment on that today, but let me give you the highlights because it's incredible. Here's why Angel Hernandez has not won any part of his lawsuit. Because Major League Baseball doesn't care what color he is or where he's from. They care that he sucks. And they have been trying for a decade to get rid of him. And he does it to himself every time. And so it's not that they made the filing public. Those filings are, it's not a sealed case. It's not like they're protecting the nuclear codes in Mar-a-Lago, right? This is something that you can just access very easily. And
like
Joe Torre.
Nuclear codes in Mar-a-Lago.
Wait, was it not the nuclear codes?
No, he said something that could be accessed easily, like the nuclear
codes.
Let's
keep talking about it.
Can you imagine like the housekeeping staff in Mar-a-Lago coming across? Hey, is this a combination to a safe? Let me try it. Let me see if that can access some of his cryptocurrency. Oh, Christ, I just started nuclear war. Who would have known? Oh. It's so ridiculous. It makes me laugh. But in any case, what were we talking about?
Truth Social? Which at first I was against, but if Donald Trump is just going to use that platform to openly admit to crimes, I am down.
Do you know it doesn't matter if you openly admit to crimes
if you're
not charged?
I will contribute to funding. Can we just keep this thing alive for him to totally screw himself?
I did not know that, David. Is that true?
That admitting to crimes only matters if you get accused? And actually charged?
But if you admit them in public, can you then be brought up on charges for admitting them in public?
I feel like it certainly
hurts.
Well,
that's not the crime. The crime is not admitting them in public. The crime is doing them, actually. And you need to have a Department of Justice that actually is willing to do it. And they're not going to pull a I say Comey, and I think I'm going to get it wrong. Is it James Comey or Comey?
Comey.
Comey.
Comey. They're not going to pull a Comey, right? They're not going to do anything
until
Comey
is so much better.
I keep calling him Comey. I don't know why. They're not going to do anything until he decides whether he's going to run in the 24 election because they don't want a repeat of what happened back with Clinton. So I do not think that the DOJ will do anything. But I'll tell you, he's making it harder and harder every single minute.
Hell yeah.
Angel Hernandez, that case has no chance. Just to put a bow on that, that's what we were talking about. It's not discrimination. I do know that I have sat in Rob Manfred's office. I've sat with Bud Selig, and we've talked about, with a group, like, how do we get rid of him? Is there any way to do it where we're not going to be looked at as being racist? And he just does it to himself, but the union protects him every time, and I don't understand it. As a team, when we see that Angel Hernandez is on our crew, we are disappointed because we know we're going to have to talk to Joe Torre or to somebody in the league office because there's going to be a problem during that particular series. He's just bad, and it's okay to be bad at your job, but you shouldn't be allowed, because you have union protection, to continue to do a job that you're bad at.
I've sat in Rob Manfred's office.
Look at me, Louie.
I think it's a play on for me.
No, because then he said, and I've talked to Bud Selig. He doubled down. It wasn't enough.
He was
to,
a team because that's president. How long. No, the purpose of that was not a flex on how long I was in baseball. It was how long they've been trying to get rid of Angel Hernandez. It's just been going on forever and a day. And this lawsuit, he just looks like a buffoon. If he were the best umpire in baseball and were truly being not assigned, and think about baseball. Why would they not want? They're looking for minority umpires. They're starting these umpire schools trying to find minority umpires because they think that that's a way to excuse lack of diversity in other various places like other industries do. So you try to get it where you can so you can then trumpet that fact. Yes, that's a callback. And so it's the opposite. And Angel Hernandez is just bad. Bad. So bad.
What's the movie you're reviewing this week?
Can we talk about And One? Untold is doing a series of documentaries called Untold. I think LeBron's involved for some reason. I'm not sure why.
I don't think he is. Not in that series. I don't think
he's not. Okay.
No, I don't think so.
And yeah, he may not be. I just see Bron everywhere, right? Every movie starts with Bron now. Isn't that his company?
No, Springfield.
Spring Hill.
Bron? Something totally different?
Yes.
Okay. So just cut that out. So
I believe the Simpsons live in Springfield.
This is a set of documentaries, and one is a sneaker company that was started by two guys I went to high school with. They were the year ahead of me in high school, a guy named Seth Berger and Jay Gilbert. Seth Berger, we went to a predominantly white Jewish high school called Horace Mann back in the days of great pedophilia in the 80s. And Seth Berger was the example
great
of someone.
Great in magnitude.
Great in the days of what?
No. Great magnitude. That's how he meant great.
I'm certainly not saying pedophilia was great. I'm saying it was everywhere
like.
At Horace Mann.
I got your back. Always.
When I was there.
Widespread would probably be where
widespread
I
is
go
good
with
too.
Better. I wouldn't
rampant.
Say good too. I would say better.
Rampant's good. You know, we knew that teachers were sleeping with students. And as students, we were jealous of it because we thought those students were getting better grades and would have a better chance of getting into a better Ivy League school. It didn't even occur to us that it was inappropriate. It only occurred to us that there was an unfair advantage.
It didn't.
That's how crazy. No, that's true.
It didn't occur to you that the students sleeping with the teachers, it didn't occur to you.
I think you should have talked this one out with Coca.
I'm telling you what it was like in 1984 in high school when you know that there is a girl in your class sleeping with the history teacher and you're saying, wow, she's going to get an A and I'm not. And it's going to impact my chance to get into a better college. That's what we thought.
While sitting around waiting for a manual to be released late at night.
And just hoping that the scramble would work for like 1 second. You know when you like hit the cable box hoping that that unscrambles it? And then when DirecTV started, there was a card you could buy in the black market that was harder to buy than drugs, that if you put it into the DirecTV box, it would unscramble every single channel.
A crime.
And it was like $350 bucks to buy. So we'd all like want to get other jobs or save our allowance money to get that card and sneak it in when your parents weren't home and watch all of the Emmanuel stuff and then take it out and put back the one that doesn't even get HBO.
What other details did you want us to know about?
Okay,
and one.
So Seth Berger was a guy who didn't occur to me would ever be able to start a business. He always wanted to be a basketball player. He was like the Vanilla Ice of Horace Mann. And I say that with all due respect to Vanilla Ice. And he ended up starting this company that was a huge success. They had Stephon Marbury wear his shoes. He got hurt wearing the shoes. They had Vince Carter win a slam dunk contest. What I didn't realize that I learned in the documentary was the absolute, not just dysfunction, but the way they treated their players who were on that mixtape tour. They would tour. I don't know if people still remember And One, but it grew into this huge business and then basically disappeared because they didn't treat their athletes right. And I thought it was very telling and very interesting they were willing to do this documentary. You will learn a lot about what it's like to compete with Nike, how quickly Nike can crush you. And that happens in today's world. Big companies, if they choose, if you get too big for them, if you're under the radar, they don't care. But if you get too big, all of a sudden you've tickled the bear. And when you, or it's not tickled, you've poked the bear. And once you poke the bear, you get eaten. And One basically got eaten.
Tickling the bear doesn't seem like it's going to result in any harm for you. At Levitard Show, put it on the poll, please. Chris Cody, did he say that with all due respect to Vanilla Ice? Did he indeed say that with all due respect to Vanilla Ice? Did you have something else you wanted to say there, Dave?
No, Dan.
Okay, good talking to you. We will talk to you. You were going to get in and I interrupted you. You were going to say something, but you instead decided to do the segment in a way that ends with a fart. See you later. Good talking to you, David.
See you later, guys.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
You keep mentioning Lou Harris and Lou Williams and Montrell Harris. You keep mentioning
Harold, excuse me.
Stugatz.
Nick, thank you for, so much for being on with us. Really enjoy your work.
Oh, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Very proud of myself. Because, well, just generally, I'm a very vain man. But it's been a very exciting offseason for the Miami Hurricanes program. But I haven't really annoyed you, the listener, all that much with Hurricanes talk. I'm not going to do it. I talked way more about Malik Rozier's 2018 team than I've talked about this team.
I feel like you're about to, though.
Well, it's game week. It's game week.
It's a slow burn, though, for the Hurricanes this year.
Which I appreciate. I after going to the neutral site games against LSU.
Ridiculous cowboy hat.
With a ridiculous cowboy hat, oversized that I am unretiring against Texas A&M. You know it. To losing a heartbreaker to Florida, to being embarrassed and single-handedly changing the course of Miami history with a bunch of Golden Canes at halftime. Against Alabama.
I'm a vain man.
Yeah, I'm very vain man.
Proud of it.
Miami has a cupcake opener against Bethune-Cookman, and it is a slow burn. They'll have the tune-up game against Southern Miss before week three, which will inevitably be on College Game Day, and we'll see how that plays out. But I think what I'm most excited for on Saturday, obviously it's football season, tailgates, it's your team, you root on your boys, but we're ushering in a new era. It is a homecoming for Mario Cristobal, and I think that place is going to be absolutely buzzing just because in one big voice we get to celebrate that Miami finally got the message and they started to care. How this season plays out, this is a recruiting-based coach. I think they'll drop a dumb one across the course of the season that'll frustrate us, but Miami's on the right path because they care. They care, and that's the most important victory of this season. I think you got to give this coach like 3 years to build up the depth necessary. We're wiping out depth with some of these practices. We don't necessarily have the big boys backing up some
Mike,
of the starters.
Throughout history in Miami, no matter where the program is, Bethune-Cookman does not buzz.
No. But Bethune-Cookman never buzzes, and we're going to have a buzzing stadium for that game. And I can
for
tell
sure?
you. For sure? Oh, Absolutely.
Mike,
they sold 6,000 more season tickets this year. There is a quantum, like the Mario Cristobal investment is already paying dividends. But I am
You're telling me I'm going to see a packed stadium?
I think you're going to see a really packed, well, it's Bethune-Cookman.
Right.
But Lower Bowl is going to be packed. I think you're going to see.
That's better.
You're going to see a very respectable crowd for Bethune-Cookman.
I'd be surprised if that were the
3:30
game.
3:30 start.
Okay. If it was noon, oof.
I mean, that's going to be a
3:30 is bad too.
Brutal heat. And,
yes.
Oh, wait, but like and a lot of good games are. Right.
The only reason I question is because, again, championship teams would not lure anything for Bethune-Cookman. And when you say the investment is already being paid off on Mario Cristobal, I believe some of the investment is being paid off, but it's not Cristobal. It's that he signals, hey, we're serious about this.
Yes,
it's not that everyone, I mean, he was the FIU coach. I know that he's a nice story, and ESPN, Sedano's in town drinking cafecito with him, and it'll be a national feel-good story, but it's what he symbolizes.
It's what he symbolizes, and if you want to actually get to the team itself, the team from the highest levels, anything less in Charlotte is a huge disappointment. Now, that's kind of been the thought amongst fan base, but not amongst the people that actually matter up there. And I think it is certainly an attainable goal. This is the best quarterback Miami has had in a very long time. He is probably going to be a first-round draft pick. He has gotten better since last season.
I can't believe that. I thought their season last year was going to go in the tank like everyone does.
He did not look good that
first
half.
When they go from De'Eriq King to backup quarterback, talk about fading wrong side of history. I'm like, okay, these are easy bets. They're going to stink. And then all of a sudden, they're throwing the ball all over the field.
While it was happening, because it was already such a disappointing season, we were already caught up in the narrative of sweeping change. We didn't truly appreciate what Tyler Van Dyke did last season
with bad receivers, I thought, or with underwhelming receivers.
Did he tie or break Joe Burrow's record of consecutive 300-yard passing games? Joe Burrow set that record with the likes of Justin Jefferson, like Pro Bowl receivers. He did that. Tyler Van Dyke did that last year with Mike Harley and Charleston Rambo, two undrafted free agents. Rambo didn't even make the Carolina Panthers team. He just got cut yesterday.
So Cristobal was quoted as saying one of the reasons he came here is this person being his quarterback.
Joe Burrow did that with Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson.
And the alma mater, but I'm just saying the way he talked.
The money helped him.
He's talked up his quarterback is my point. He didn't have to do that, and he did.
By the way, the stat is 6 straight games of 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, which joins Joe Burrow as the only player to do so in the college football playoff era. So I think you could have reasonably low expectations just based off the fact that he's a recruiting coach. But if you enter the year with that level of quarterback play, then you have every right to be excited. As like, even if the Hurricanes hadn't done what they've done, which is signal that they're back as a football program, I'd be pretty excited for this season with whoever the new coach is going to be, because you get to watch that quarterback play every week. That was an incredibly dynamic offense that, as you said, Dan, made them entertaining at a time in which it seemed like all was lost.
We have a UCF guy in the cornerback here scoffing, saying that this is the best UM quarterback since the last time they had a great UM quarterback.
No.
Since Malik Rozier was thought to be the next great quarterback.
Come on, guys. Come
10
on.
And 0. He was part of 10-0. Yeah. That team went into Pitt, stormed into Pitt. We were all surprised when Malik Rozier was Malik Rozier.
Please, Jer Bear. You've had a banner week from the fart on. Fart. This is somehow your second biggest fart. Fart. Yeah. No, Tyler Van Dyke is a pro quarterback. We've had good quarterbacks here, but this guy.
What do you mean by pro quarterback? Like he'll make it to the NFL or he'll be good in the NFL?
He's a first round pick.
Listen, I know he won the Herbie for guy ready to take it to the next level, but NFL quarterback, a good one, a starting quarterback, a Pro Bowl quarterback.
First round
pick. There's a lot of guys. Kenny Dorsey was an NFL quarterback.
Miami is going to visit an SEC power, a program that has had several years now under Jimbo Fisher to get these recruiting classes stacked. And Miami is entering College Station with a very clear and obvious quarterback advantage. You can't say that for the Miami Hurricanes programs of the last 20 years. I am not at all worried about the quarterback. He is actually taking the next step. The offense is going to look mad different. They got the in Josh Gattis. They got the assistant coach of the year, but it's going to be a different playing style.
They got the assistant coach of the year. I know
the coordinator
they do.
Of the year.
No one's ever celebrated that.
I know. It's just a funny phrase. They've got the assistant coach of the year. It's a funny phrase.
You guys sound old and uninformed.
Get out of here!
No, you really do. Laughing off,
Mike.
The best
I've been doing the show with you for 18 years. You've never mentioned an assistant coach of the year.
You guys just don't know college football. You guys
if assistant coaches are of the year, would that be better? Huge.
Yeah, coordinators are massive in this.
I am aware that this is the way that Nick Saban showed everybody to get around all of the rules is to just get these coaching staffs. I know that these guys
are
overcoached.
They got the best guy in the nation.
Stole him.
That's a story.
Best coach, Dan.
They stole
at the assistant
best
level.
Assistant coach in the nation from Michigan, who had a very good season last year. They made the college football playoff. He was doing well over there.
Be a head
they
coach.
They took him. He will be.
Do it when you're a head coach.
Well, they also
get to a head coach.
They were
get a job as a head coach.
I don't know what you're doing. They were
if he's such a good assistant coach, he'd be a head coach.
put it on the poll, please, at Levitard
the next
Show.
Step.
Chris, if he was such a good assistant coach, wouldn't he be a head coach at Levitard Show?
I interrupted you, Mike. Sorry.
Mike, but you
Josh Gattis isn't just going to take Louisiana Tech, you know?
Right.
The guy who's waiting for the
Alabama job, right.
I want you guys to all absorb that
Did you just make a Frozen joke?
Josh Gatt coaches at college team?
Let it go.
Mike Ryan, before he was...
Pretty good.
Elite dad joke from Roy.
Thank you. That's right.
Okay, you guys want to... Look, I know my audience. I'm not going to talk you up on Josh Gattis, but my point is the offense is going to look very different. Look, Josh Gattis did that with Michigan. They didn't have great receivers. I think you're going to see really slower pace because how many times did we see Miami under Rhett Lashley go like 3 and out and it milked 17 seconds off the clock? And that's how you get in these blowouts by halftime. That's how you have a whole bunch of angry Golden Canes at halftime, once again, embarrassed. We're going to drag some teams in the mud. The trenches
buy your tickets, everybody. We're going to drag some teams into the mud.
No, I think that's a huge part of the strategy going into Texas A&M is we're going to slow this game down, be a deep drag Texas A&M into the deeper waters and see what type of game we have in the fourth quarter. And I think from a financial perspective, that's actually the play for the University of Miami, not just strategic, because Miami needs to show that they can have massive TV ratings. And Miami's TV ratings aren't good if they're in a blowout by halftime. There is so many reasons why Texas A&M can't go the way that the other SEC games have gone. You need to make that a game by the fourth quarter and bring eyes because there is big time TV contract deals on the line.
UCF scoffing again in the corner, what? Saying that we were really excited about Rhett Lashley when we got him.
Here's the thing.
Rhett Lashley was so good, he got a head coaching job. You should be thrilled.
That's what good assistants do.
You're so right about those, though, Chris Cody. I do think that people need to realize, one, that before Mike Ryan became an obnoxious UM insider,
quite some time ago.
This year at this time,
but you're deep inside now.
You that Van Dyke is as great as he is, he was telling me that Jake Garcia was going to be the next quarterback at Miami. I thought it was going to be...
I wasn't telling you that. I said Jake. People were excited about Jake Garcia, and actually, I told you the opposite. Whitty and I went to camp.
I did not hear you guys raving about Van Dyke. That was not a thing that was happening, Mike. Not on air, off air.
And also, Kentucky Fried Chickens, how dare you, sir? We told you in a camp that featured De'Aaron King and Jake Garcia that Tyler Van Dyke actually impressed us most.
Are you talking as a chicken right now?
What just happened?
I'm just telling you.
Right. You want the chickens to come out? What are you asking
Chris,
for?
You're rattled.
That's the most serious chicken I've ever heard.
Yes, this is what happens to Mike.
It speaks very well, though.
This is what happens. Listen,
how would you react to a full-faced lie questioning your integrity?
She's
just flatly lying.
The same way.
He's a liar. He's a lying cop.
I am not lying, Mike. The only reason that I know.
So
that
Jake, this is aimed at someone else for a change.
I think Jake Garcia actually has quite a battle on his hands to take this job next year from HBK.
Okay, I don't want to break down next year, and I need you to stop. Okay,
Shawn
I need
Michaels?
You to stop. And
no,
it's been 10
HBK.
Minutes of this.
Really?
Yeah, he's a huge Shawn Michaels fan.
Wow. Man,
yeah. I'm a fan of his now.
HBK.
Mike, Dan, I am requesting.
You don't want to talk about next year's. I'm talking about Kane's classes 5 years from now.
I am requesting that you look in a mirror, okay? Because we have been at this. You promised at the beginning. I haven't annoyed you guys this much. You're analyzing a Texas A&M game that's weeks from now that
well,
you're going
to. You brought the emotion out of me with your dumbass commentary about Josh Gattis and Jake Garcia.
Listen to me. This is what I will not allow you to do to the audience during the college football season, okay? You just, with no sense of irony, said, and this is why all the Golden Canes were angry at halftime. Okay? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's a thing that you just said.
Because the University of Miami entered the 21st century. We were pissed off about that.
You just said that in a
Not
week.
Not one of you have thanked me. Not one.
You just said that weeks from now, we're going to watch the enthusiasm and excitement of seeing Texas A&M dragged into deeper water.
Yeah, baby.
Mud. Yes.
Mud and deeper water. First, it's going to be deeper water, and then there are going to be layers of mud beyond the deeper water.
We have a good quarterback. What are we doing this for? We don't need to be dragged into the mud.
Then he yells at me and Stugatz, okay, and just dismisses us as old because we have the temerity to laugh about never having heard the phrase before, and we got the assistant coach of the year.
Everybody wants the assistant coach of the year. We got him.
What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.